Hi, it's Anna. Welcome to Poetreats, a multi-sensory mindfulness experience that invites us to connect more deeply with ourselves, each other, and the world around us through poetry. What you're about to experience is an invitation to slow down. Each Poetreat pairs a delicious handcrafted cookie with a carefully chosen poem read by its author. While each can be enjoyed on its own, they're designed to be consumed together, a treat for the senses and the spirit. Before we begin, I'd like to invite you to take a moment to arrive. What would it feel like to give yourself permission to just be here for the next 15 minutes? If you're able, close your eyes for a moment. Now feel for the ground beneath you. What does it feel like to allow the earth to support your weight, to be connected to what's underfoot? Now notice the breath as it moves through your body. No need to change it, just observe what's there. If you're seated, feel for where your body connects to the chair. Allow yourself to be fully supported. Notice if there's anything in your body that might want to soften to relax. Maybe your shoulders. Maybe you want to unclench your jaw. In this last moment of intentional pause, do anything you need to do to give yourself permission to be here now. Today's poem comes from my dear friend, Savine Nangalia. Savine's story crosses borders, born in India, raised in Qatar, and now long rooted in the United States. Along the way, he's built a career at the intersection of technology and education, while making space for music, reflection, community, and the kinds of conversations that open up deeper ways of being. His poetry grows out of everyday moments where conversation and observation mingle with invisible forces beyond, finding form in language that dances, digs, and doubles back, always reaching toward meaning just beyond its edge. Today's poem, Make Me, gestures toward the quiet burdens of life as an expatriate, the soft walls, the invisible bargains, and the weight of needing to stay acceptable to stay at all. As you listen, remain open. This poem may comfort you, or it may challenge you. It might stir something unexpected. Some words may not sit easily. But that's part of the invitation, to notice, stay curious, and to connect with the essential humanity being offered. Allow this to be food for thought and nourishment for your body, your mind, and your heart. If you choose to make it so, this may be a practice in witnessing someone else's lived experience and holding it as real and true and valid, even if it conflicts with our own. From my view, expanding our capacity to hold multiple truths simultaneously is a skill worth cultivating as we navigate this challenging time and move toward a future that we can all see ourselves inside. And now, today's featured poem offered for your consideration. Here is Make Me, read by the author Savine Nangalia.
Put me in the cage, make me call it home. Make me say I like it, make me say my grace. To you, my lord, my saint, owner of my freedom, director of my fate, maker of my decisions, make me stay in line. When I start to wander, put me in my place. Threaten, curse, and kick, cajole, caress, inflict, safety on my psyche, protection on my person, eligibility on my existence in this time and place. Then treat me like I don't belong. Step on my toes, knock me to my knees, burden me with proof, make me beg to be part of you. Then tell me I'm invalid and question my every loyalty. You keep saying this is freedom as you drain my heart of every dream. If I love your children more than you, why do your lines define me?
That was really lovely. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I'm so excited to be on the first Poetreats podcast with you. One of the other things we've talked about is just sharing and putting things we create out into the world. And this feels like a lovely way for us both to inhabit that together.
Yeah, well put. I agree. For me, this poem is so powerful. It brings up so many emotions. It's very weighty with emotion, and it feels very personal. And I'm curious about the seed of inspiration for this poem, whether it was sparked by personal experience, an observation about society, or something else.
Yeah, I think at the time it was specifically directed to the immigration system of the United States, though I do think it is broader than that. I'm a first generation immigrant, a zeroth generation immigrant. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm an immigrant. I'm of Indian descent. It is... There's a lot that goes into the experience of being an immigrant, and I'm sure some of it you know, but a lot of it is insidious. People come to the U.S. looking for a better life, and there are many structures that exist here and in immigration systems all over the world that are meant to specifically exclude certain people. One of the things I have to do as an Indian immigrant on a work visa is I have to leave the country every 3 years to get my visa stamped again in my passport. I have to go to an American consulate outside of the United States because that way they won't have to deport me if they don't approve my visa because I'm already not in the United States. And it's a ton of paperwork. It's all online. They have all the information. They choose to make me fill it out every time. This paper cage that all immigrants inhabit. And we do this over and over again. It's a complex set of emotions and brings up a lot of resentment, a lot of reevaluating your life, questioning whether it's something you want to do. And it's designed to make you not want to come back. Every time I leave the country, there is anxiety about not being able to come back. And it used to be more powerful, but I think I've been through that trauma enough times to where I've reconciled it and mentally have a plan for what would happen if I couldn't re-enter. And that's just a crazy thing to do to someone, you know? The people I love are here.
It feels like you have to grieve your own life over and over again to continue to be in relationship with this place. You use the phrase "make me" repeatedly, which is also the title. And it conveys to me both this sense of defiance and also resignation. And I'm curious about how you see the tension between coercion and consent in this piece.
"Make me" has defiance, and the way I use it in this poem is a lot of defiance, but it also has creation. And in a lot of ways, I am a product of the opportunity and the wonderful community and the immense love that I have felt being here. When we talk about consent and coercion, it can feel overwhelming at times to have to go through the thing, the process, over and over again and to prove myself over and over again. But I go through it and I do keep coming back. The coercion is being put through this experience, having to live with the trauma of maybe not being able to return, but the consent is me doing it anyway.
That makes me think of one of the lines, which goes, "You keep saying this is freedom as you drain my heart of every dream." These themes of freedom and control and identity. And I'm curious what freedom means to you.
I have another poem where one of the lines is, "Freedom is a chance to eat without being shot at." For some people, at a certain stage of being, all freedom is not dying and not being threatened. To me, right now, freedom is being able to take the risks that I want to take completely, being able to express myself.
Do you see this poem as an act of reclaiming freedom?
At the time when I wrote it, it was a form of catharsis. For that experience of having to go through this process of proving myself over and over again, being able to express something out in the world felt like I can let go. A lot of the things I write make me feel better. So it's reclaiming freedom in a way, but the real structural problems still exist, and the experience of going through it still exists. And sometimes when I'm in Doha waiting for my consulate appointment, you know, in a week or two, I will read this poem and be like, yeah, you're right. It is a form of resistance. And thank you for helping me share it with other people, because that, I think, feels more like resistance than keeping it to myself.
Mm. Yeah. Thank you for putting this vulnerable, beautiful, personal thing out in a public way that people can experience this through your eyes, and not just the contents of the poem itself, but your reflections on what it means to you. There's the final line of the poem, which is so piercing, as a final question to the reader. And it goes, "If I love your children more than you, why do your lines define me?" What does this line mean to you?
I think I'm feeling a couple of things there. One is that this nation is not empathetic, and for the most part does not love its people. There's so much poverty, homelessness, hunger, a lot of very insidious political systems. There are guns on the street where children are literally being shot every day. And those are all things that at one time or another I've protested against, stood up to in some small way. I just sense a disregard for the people of this nation in favor of wealth. And so I do feel like I love the average American more than the American government loves the average American. And then the other piece of this, specifically around loving the children, is to do with my work. I work in education. I was working for 6 years in elementary, middle school education. Now I work in university education. I'm trying to actively think of how to help solve some problems through education. And so that line is also a small nod to my work.
Yeah, it's really lovely. In a time when so much is shifting, what role do you think poetry or art in general plays in making sense of it all?
That's such a good question. Art is resistance in the deepest possible way. Like, it's such an expression of resistance, because not only is it catharsis, but it is also joy. And like, creating and being joyful in this time feels so rebellious. I feel the creation of it helps us release, let go of tension, add to the beauty of the world. And I think the consumption of art helps us connect with each other and see each other hopefully as more human. I think there's so much need and desire for connection. We need each other. And one of the ways we can relate to each other is through art. Mm.
And with that, I'd love to invite you to read one final time, "Make Me."
"Put me in a cage. Make me call it home. Make me say I like it. Make me say my grace. To you, my lord, my saint, owner of my freedom, director of my fate. Maker of my decisions, make me stay in line. When I start to wander, put me in my place. Threaten, curse, and kick. Cajole, caress, inflict. Safety on my psyche, protection on my person, eligibility on my existence in this time and place. Then treat me like I don't belong, step on my toes, knock me to my knees, burden me with proof, make me beg to be part of you. Then tell me I'm invalid and question my every loyalty. You keep saying this is freedom as you drain my heart of every dream. If I love your children more than you, why do your lines define me?
Poetreats is an independent organization dedicated to facilitating deeper connection with ourselves, each other, and the world around us through the powers of poetry and presence. If you enjoyed this experience, consider making Poetreats a monthly ritual. Each month, we release a new episode featuring a new poet. Subscribe to receive our monthly drop, which includes a delicious cookie paired with a fresh audio experience like this one. Get one for yourself or share it with a friend. Poetreats make great gifts. You can find us on the web at www.poetreats.org or on Instagram at Poetreats. A portion of every Poetreats sold directly supports an emerging artist. If you or a poet you know would like to be featured on an episode, send us a message from the contact page on our website. We genuinely love to hear your authentic feedback about the experience. If you're feeling called, leave us a voicemail about how this experience moved you. I personally listen to every one of them. The number to call is 512-766-6819. Finally, and most importantly, gratitude. Thank you for the gift of your presence. Until next time.